Welcome to Maru Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
Greetings, friends. Our sermonic text comes to us from Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And it reads as thus: You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Indeed, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you, to look around and see familiar faces as we have shared times together, particularly during our Christmas readings, and to be able to stand and proclaim the word of God before you. Again, I'm honored Dr. Baker thought it was worthy to extend to me the preaching privilege to come and stand in this sacred space. I also look around and I see, again, Bishop Pearson and a few members of St. James Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, where I was able to sneak away and spend just a little bit of time with after our 8:30 time this morning. I'm telling you the truth. To my understanding, Dr. Baker has journeyed through the Ten Commandments. So this has been a series that we have before us. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that he has adeptly shared God's holy standards for holy living. Now, what I find interesting is that my friend sent me an invitation. I extended it to my lovely wife, Quinny, and my son, BJ, but sent us the invitation to come and share with you after he got to preach all of the exciting, action-packed topics prior to. I'm just saying, here we are at the denouement, the 10th commandment, and there's no outward action name. There's no theft. There's no murder. There's no adultery. He even told me the title of my sermon. He told me the title of my sermon. You shall not covet. And so therefore, Doug, I love you, brother. I thank you for challenging me as he does. But brothers and sisters, we've come to the last of the Ten Commandments. And at first glance, it seems like the quietest. Truly, there may not be any actions to punish. No courts can prosecute it. No person can prove it. In fact, it's a silent sin that secretly shackles the soul. But don't let its silence fool you. This commandment may not speak to our hands and our mouths, but it speaks with exclamation to the heart. Thou shalt not covet. Unlike the other commandments, this one doesn't deal with your behavior. In fact, the Hebrew word used to elaborate upon this word covet is hakman, implies that it deals with your desire. It goes beneath the surface of what you do and shines a spotlight on what you want. This is the commandment that caught the Apostle Paul, and wherein he says in Romans 7:7, I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Coveting is the craving that cripples your character, clouds your vision, and contaminates your relationships. And once this craving sets in, it has a ravenous, insatiable appetite and always wants more and more and more. It's just like a greedy kid who's already full, but looks over at his brother's plate and wants what's on their plate also. He's cute, but he's covetous. And guess what? That can be us. Already full of blessings, yet still crying over what someone else has that we don't have. And so I plan on dropping just a few nuggets, if you will. And the first one that comes to mind is this. If you're always looking at someone else's life, you'll never love the one that God gave you. My first point that I want you to really grapple with is that coveting is the seedbed of sin. When you look at the great moral failures in Scripture, they often start with a covetous thought. Think of Eve as she coveted the fruit that looked so good and looked for wisdom. Genesis chapter 3. If you go to Joshua chapter 7, you'll find Achan coveted the treasures of Jericho. Even 2 Samuel in chapter 11, David coveted another man's wife. Before the sin was in the hand, its seed was in the heart. Coveting is a craving that corrupts. It is the internal whisper that says, what I have isn't enough. What I need is what you have. And when we entertain that whisper, oftentimes it doesn't stay on the inside. Coveting leads to comparison. It leads to bitterness, to theft, to adultery, even to murder. So guess what? If you cannot grasp this 10th commandment, you're bound to proactively participate in those previous 9 that Dr. Baker has already shared with you. I want you to think of coveting like a crack in the foundation of a house. It's not visible at first, but over time, it compromises the structure itself. Eventually, the whole house begins to lean because of what is hidden below. That's why God ends his commandment here, because the 10th commandment helps us to see the source of so many others. My second point I want you to understand is that coveting is the enemy of contentment. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I first read this, it sounded a little different from the first time I heard it. The first time I heard it, I have to give some context. My mother, who has been a preacher all of my life, in fact, she's celebrating 45 years of ministry and retires this year. But I'm going to say, she raised an angel of a child, but that doesn't mean I was not rambunctious, if you call it, okay? And there was this moment when I first heard this particular scripture, at least that's what I thought it was, when she grabbed me by the collar and said to me, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Yikes, right? But I don't think this is what this is saying. So let's stick to the first part. Godliness with contentment is great gain. By con- That word contentment, it's hard enough when we're constantly comparing ourselves to others. Comparison makes you complain instead of lifting up praises. Comparison poisons your perception. Comparison tells you what God gave them is better than what God has given you. And I know my brain works differently, so sometimes I have to talk things out. But if comparison leads me to coveting, and if coveting is the enemy of contentment, then it would prove circular that our lack of contentment is the cause of our covetousness. Follow me, if you will, to Paul's conversation with the Philippian church found in Philippians 4:11b, where he begins by saying, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have." He goes on to say, "I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, or of having plenty and of being in need." This leads me to a personal testimony. Again, I grew up in a small town. Roland, Arkansas, now is a suburb of Little Rock. But it was a very small community. In fact, no one had numbers on the sides of their houses. No one even had mailboxes on the curb on the side of the road. In fact, our post office said general delivery. Yeah, and so you would go to the postmaster and give them your name, and they will give you your mail. The same thing worked when I went to the general store. It was on my grandfather's good name. I would go in and say his name, and they would provide for me a package of goods that he would probably have on his tab. Thinking of that, my grandmother, when I didn't know we were poor, quite honestly, but if we were out of flour, she would send me to the neighbor's house and I would get whatever was provided. But the following day, she would send me back with a half dozen eggs or so. We were in community with one another. We had contentment, and I never knew we had less than what God had provided. A better way to describe it could be this. How many of you know there's a difference between a window and a mirror, right? When you look through a window, you see what someone else has. But when you look in a mirror, you see yourself. Coveting happens when we spend more time looking through the window versus looking into the mirror of God's word. I don't know about you, but when I look into that mirror, what I see is an image smiling back at me, comforting me, and saying that you are a child of God. And as a child of God, I know that God promises me that He will provide all of my needs. Therefore, I don't have to worry about what you have or what you've got going on as long as I have King Jesus. He is all that I need. You see, contentment isn't about having what you want. It's about wanting what you have. And when your heart rests in God, you trust that all that He's provided is enough. That God, in God's infinite and omnipotent power and will and grace and mercy, is enough. I want you to look closely, however, back into our text, because coveting turns people into possessions. It's not just about things, it's about people. The text says, not just don't covet a house or an ox, don't covet your neighbor's wife or their servant or anything that is your neighbor's. Coveting is not only about greed of material possessions, it's also about disregarding the dignity of others. Coveting doesn't just distort what we want, it distorts how we see people. I'm so glad that we're talking about Love Thy City and our opportunity to go out and serve others. And though God may have blessed us, there are so many that may not have what we have. And so therefore, I always tell my church that we are blessed to be a blessing. But if we stop seeing our neighbor as someone to love and we start seeing them as someone to compete with, or worse, yes, even worse, we start seeing them as someone to conquer. The moment I start wanting what you have, I stop being thankful for who you are. You begin to see people not as neighbors, but as obstacles, not as fellow image bearers, but as carriers of the things you wish were yours. That's why Jesus summed up in the law these two commands: love the Lord your God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Coveting is a direct violation of that love. It causes us to resent people we are called to respect and envy people we're called to embrace. Coveting turns community into competition. It turns neighbors into nuisances. It transforms gratitude into greed. Coveting replaces love with rivalry. It tears down that unity I discussed that was in my little bedrock of a community that the Holy Spirit is building up. Brothers and sisters, if all of that said, however, there is still some good news. The good news is that God doesn't just tell us, thou shalt not covet. He transforms what we crave. Galatians 5 and 16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Spirit doesn't just change your behavior, she changes your appetite. She teaches us to desire God more than gold, to love our neighbor instead of envying them, to value eternal things over temporal things. The command not to covet isn't just about stopping a sin. That's legalistic. That's the law. And brothers and sisters, the law will not set you free. This command is all about starting a new life, pray the Lord, in Christ Jesus. A life where your worth isn't based on what you drive or the clothes you wear. A life where your joy isn't tied to someone else's success. A life where you can celebrate your neighbor and still be secure in God's plan for you. This command, however, reveals our deepest problem. You want to know what it is? We need a new heart. And that heart can only be found in Jesus. Only Jesus, the one who owned nothing, the one who had nowhere to lay his head, the one who gave up heaven to walk here on earth among us. Only he can change a covetous heart into a content one. The cure for coveting is Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord. And on the cross, Jesus did not covet anything. He chose emptiness so that we could be filled. And because of his resurrection, you and I can be free from the grip of greed. We can be free to bless our neighbors, to love our city. We can be free to celebrate others, not compete with them. Free to live open-hearted and not tight-fisted. My brothers and sisters, thou shalt not covet is a command. But I want you to hold on to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor as yourself. And the cure for covetousness is that Christ is our salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Soul, thy God doth undertake. confidence, let nothing shake. Oh, now mysterious shall be bright at last. When change and tears are past, we shall meet at last.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.